الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها، ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. وقال تعالى: المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا، والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. صدق الله المولان العظيم. We had explained that for our actions there are four aspects that we must be very concerned about. One is to do the action, that there mustn't be laziness, unmindfulness, and we don't do amal. And when we do the amal must be done correctly, not in a wrong way, haphazard way, but done correctly. And after doing the amal, the concern whether and dua that it must be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And after acceptance also, it's not the end, that it must be preserved, and that when we die, we go with that amal, not that we had lost it on the way. From there, we should also understand that kufr is such a terrible thing. Just believe that with kufr, greatest of amal are not accepted. Whoever makes any amal, but if there's kufr, then those amal are not accepted. And if we did lot of good actions, but we do one time kufr, all that is cancelled. So we should be very, very concerned. And when kufr, things that constitute kufr, our one word, our one facial expression, our one action, anything, if it constitutes kufr, then all our amal will be destroyed. But at the same time also, Allah also said, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. A person who comes with a good, with a bad deed, then for that is the punishment accordingly. So if on the way we cancelled and we made tawbah istighfar, then all that gets, it's cancelled now. All those gunas, and in fact Allah tabaraka ta'ala is a great merciful being, that when a person makes tawbah, Allah, sincere tawbah, then Allah tabaraka, and he does good deeds, Allah changes all those sins of his into good deeds also. Ulama have written also, like for example, if a person made kufr, he has to make hajj again. His nikah he has to renew again. Therefore, regularly we should read the kalima also, Allah, the fourth kalima, the imani mujmal and imani mufassal. We should read that regularly. And also, ulama have debated this question, and the ulama of the view that even our bad deeds of the past, if we make sincere tawbah, we beg of Allah, Allah will reinstate them again. And we should make dua that, Ya Allah, how we did those good deeds, now that you reinstate them, and this is the sunnah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, make them even better than they were before. And Allah says also, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. We will reward the people for their deeds much more better than how they did it. We did it at a 10% acceptance level. Allah in His mercy will make it 100%. And it comes clearly in the hadith, a person who wants to read Quran Sharif correctly, but for whatever reason he cannot and he's not in a position to learn to read Quran Sharif, he may still making the effort, then his recitation of Quran Sharif is, so to say, edited. That is, all the mistakes are removed. And then Allah Ta'ala takes it as a pure reading, perfect reading, with tajweed, with everything. When a person keeps on trying, Allah Ta'ala makes it in that position. So Allah is most merciful. So among the great good deeds that we should do to reach Allah Ta'ala, there is our whole deen that Allah has given us, what comes particularly in the Quran Sharif, and which ulama have explained, that on the one side, al-malu wal-banoon, zinatul hayati dunya, your wealth, and this is halal wealth, in which you are giving your zakat and everything, and your children which are obedient to you, obedient to Allah Ta'ala. and they are fulfilling the rights of Allah Ta'ala. That is all just the beauty of this dunya. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. And بَاقِيَاتِ الصَّالِحَاتِ, those are the things that are much more better for you and in which you can have much more greater hope in the Akhirah. With regard to بَاقِيَاتِ الصَّالِحَاتِ, the literal translation, the perpetual rewards of good deeds. بَاقِيَاتِ الصَّالِحَاتِ, the rewards which will remain baqi, remain forever, of the salihat, the good deeds that you do. What are baqiyat salihat? There are many explanations which the ulama give. One of them is that the third kalima is tamjeed, the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. These are those words. The most that Allah loves are these words. And the best words a person can say are these words. So they are so simple, but they are so great. Together with that, ulama have explained what we normally call thawab-e-jariya. Any amal you do, the thawab which continues. Like you donated in a masjid, though you did not build the whole masjid. There are few people who can build the whole masjid. And even then, if you did not build it with your own hands, you just donated towards it. Or the further explanation, if you just gave the money for one brick, one window, the equivalent to one musalla, Allah won't give you just so much in Jannah. Allah will give you a whole palace. مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ بَيْتًا بَنَى اللَّهُ بَيْتًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. A person who builds a house for Allah Ta'ala. Not necessarily the whole house, the whole masjid. But just a little bit. So wherever we have this opportunity, a person who has a well dug, and the people drink water from there, people make ghusl, etc., and all the other needs they fulfill from there, you are getting the sawab, and it carries on all the time. So this baqiyat as-salihat, these are those words which are in kalima-i tamjeed. Subhanallah, the purity of Allah Ta'ala, walhamdulillah, the praises of Allah, la ilaha illallah, tawheed, the oneness of Allah, Allahu Akbar, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. These have come in kalima-i tamjeed. The same words have come in tasbihat-i fatimi. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, 33 and 34 times. And at the end, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu. So that also, that's the fourth kalima. The kalima is also in there. And this has also come in the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, which has come three times in Bukhari Sharif. Only the sequence of the words are a little bit changed. But basically, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah is Subhanallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi is alhamdulillah. Subhanallah al-Azim is Allahu Akbar. So the same three words there also. Then in many other ahadith, the virtues of these words have come. For example, in Tirmizi Sharif, a person who reads in the morning and evening 100 times Subhanallah, then he gets a thawab of 100 hajj. And he just, Subhanallah, 100 times is not even, is about a minute it will take. And again in the evening, and we get the thawab of 100 hajj. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, tamla'an, aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, the whole place between the earth and the sky, it gets filled with thawab. So for example, we should try and Islamicize our language also. Somebody asks you, how are you? Don't just say, okay, I'm fine. Say, alhamdulillah. How lot sawab you have got. The whole place between the earth and the sky. And you have identified yourself with Islam. And you have distanced yourself from the dunya's people, their language and their talk. And all these words, there are so many of them, so great words. Bismillah, Insha'Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. We should try and bring this on our tongues. A Muslim should be always, these words should be on his tongue. And they have such great, great merit, such great rewards. We should try our best that all the time, wherever we can. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that the one distinguishing factor of this ummah is that La ilaha illallah is very common on their tongue. Yeah, mashallah, even now those people, anything they say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. So we should be, but to think about ourselves, we hardly say the word. If we're making, and very few of us perhaps are making our zikr regularly, then at that time we will say, but that should be all the time, in amazement, mashallah. Something that pleases us, alhamdulillah. And inshaAllah, we should never forget anything we intend to say, inshaAllah. But today we can see, even if we have a dini mashura, whether it is of a Darul Uloom, now for our Islahi Jalsa we have mashura, whether it is the Tabligh Jamaat, we make mashura every day, Jamaat is out. The whole 24-hour program, we make mashura. But just pay attention and see whether we are saying inshaAllah. When we sit, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. Any gathering in which there is no Durood Sharif read will be, and no zikr of Allah will be a source of sorrow for the person. And not only on the day of Qiyamah, even in Jannah. And how many of our gatherings, no Durood Sharif, no zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So we should try and bring this into our lives. With regard to the Tasbihate Fatimi, which are the same three words, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. One time, Haji Farooq Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, Sakharwi, was here in Azadwal. He was invited by an alim for tea. I was also there. So then the host brought his small little daughters that time, now they must be grown up all, 3, 4 years, 2-year-old little girls. And they had the scarf, etc. also. And this is also, when a buzur comes, then normally we'll see the little boys are brought, and an oversized topi. He doesn't wear topi, now suddenly just took the father's topi and put it. And the girls, the burqa they wear also, big burqa they wear. But besides that, what their dressing is. Allah make it that it must be all. We are not only Muslims when a buzur comes or something. It's good. We show our respects. We don't just go like that. But we are Muslims all the time. So anyway, Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali put his hand on the scarf on their head. And that we made salam. They were taught that you must give your hand. They gave their hand, small little hand. But he didn't take their hand. And then he told Hazrat Ji, Abba Ji, Hazrat Jo Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali taught us and told the greeting of little girls also. Big girls is out of the question, but small girls also, their greeting also is just by putting your hand on top of the scarf. Not touching their hair, not a strand of their hair also. So I asked, I said, is that so small girls also? So he said, yes, even so small girls. And today, the environment, forget all these people with the alphabet fitnas and all that. We in our homes, how lot of parda. Then Hadra Ji, Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib, he lived in the same house with his son, Bhaijan, and with his wife, he was married. But living in the house, mixing, moving around, and there's no parda also from your daughter-in-law. But Hazrat Ji maintains so much of caution that it is said that if his daughter-in-law was put in a group of other women, and Hazrat Ji had to look at them, he won't be able to say that this is my daughter-in-law. In other words, though they lived together 24 hours a day, all the time, but he didn't look at her and to know how she looks. So much of parda there was. Sharam haya is a very, very great and important thing. Then Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went on to explain that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali has written, if the parents, they are in a room, in the bedroom, they cohabit, and the baby is in the same room, like the baby is in the cot usually in our time. He says that though this is a 100% halal, proper relationship between, but having it there will also have an effect on the child. So the purity of the mind of the children, and today what are they exposed to? What terrible, terrible things. So what terrible things we are hearing, what is happening. And what terrible reports, kargozari, we get of the universities. Jamaat go to the universities, and our daughters, when they go to the university, they put on their burqa and they go, very good girls. Boys wear their kurtas. When they come back with their burqas, they make their namazes, we are happy. But what is happening there? It's unbelievable what terrible things are happening there. The worst type of things are happening there. And the more sadder part, that our ulama are encouraging all that and making it like a forest to go to university. And all this filth and dirt, unbelievable, terrible things which are happening there. So anyway, so then Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Jazahumullah Khair, explained. And this is also, this is what being with Buzurgs is. The time is all the time teaching. Even just having a cup of tea, it wasn't just tea and or talking, making some dunya stops or something, but it was all the time about deen. As you have explained, that if a person travels anywhere in the world, locally, abroad, and he sees some beautiful plant, a flower, a tree, fruit, and he wishes, this should be in my garden also. This should be, I should also have this. He says, for that there is a long procedure. For if it is from local also, plants are very sensitive. If you uproot them and you transport them, they die off very easily. You have to be very careful. If it is from overseas, then government regulations are very, very strict also. Importing flowers and plants, etc., fruit, etc. Some countries like Australia, New Zealand, from one province to the other province, they are so strict. And the smallest little things, they also, they don't allow it. Very, very strict they are. So you have to get all that permission, which is not easy also, a long procedure. You'll have to find out that plant is growing in that climate where it is. You liked it, well and good, you like it. It's your choice to like it. But now, is it going to grow in your climate? You are living in a cold area, and the plant is growing in a hot climate. So it's not going to grow here. So you have to find all that out also. Then you'll have to acquire it. Whether you get it from where you saw it, at the foot of the mountain, at the seashore, wherever you saw it, or you'll buy it from the nursery, and then you'll have to transport it, which is the plants are very sensitive. Then finally, when it will get here, then you'll have to dig a hole and all to various specifications. And then the fertilizer you'll have to put also according to specification. You plant it, you put in the soil, you water it, more fertilizer, then you'll have to look after it. It's a new plant, people are not used to it. Somebody will drive over it. The children playing there, they'll kick it down. So many things you'll have to do. Change of weather, summer, winter, you'll have to protect it, look after it. And people are so passionate about this, they will cover it so well. And they every day they go and check it in winter. Is it still surviving or not? How we look after our little babies. With that plant which is so dear to us, we will look after it like that. Then whether it grows or not, it dies in between. Whether we die in between, we also don't live to see the fruition of that little plant, the fruits, the flowers, the beauty of it, we don't know. And if we do get the fruit, in most cases it will be once a year, the fruit. That is all we will get. And so much of trouble, and much more than this also, for one tree, for one plant. And on the other hand, Hazrat Ji explained, one subhanallah comes in the hadith, which is 100% true, gharsun fil jannah. If we all just say now, subhanallah, we have planted a tree in Jannah. Without all those formalities, without any of the hard, deen is so easy. And making our Jannah is so easy. But we give preference to this dunya, which is going to get finished. and the akhirat, and really a person's sorrow will know no limit in the akhirat, when we'll see it was so easy. Hardly a person who runs out of breath, for him to say subhanallah, what difficulty is it? And so much alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this should be on our tongues all the time. So this will be forever. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that one subhanallah, that tree will be so tall, so high, that a person riding on a fast horse for 100 years, and in one riwayat 500 years, he won't cover the shade of the tree. So if you say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, such big trees you have planted in Jannah. So how big is your Jannah? And this was given to the Ummah on the occasion, and it is known, the whole Ummah knows these words as Tasbihat-e-Fatimi, from Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And this was when, and this is also, we should take great lesson. Our role model of our woman folk must be Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala. The Binte Rasul, the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the queen of Jannah. But how her life? She passed away at the age of 29. But the work she did, her housework, all she did with her own. So much so that the scars developed on her hand, blisters. And on her body, carrying the leather bottles in those days for water. They weren't just you open a tap and you get water or something like that. They had to carry the water. And then putting it in the mitkas, everything, all that. The cleaning of the house, how she brought up her children, how on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha's house. She hid away. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked, why did you hide away? She said, you came with a strange man here. He said, it's Abdullah ibn Maktoum, he's blind. He can't see you. But she says, my eyes will fall on him. What her modesty was. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala, what is the best thing for a woman? Nobody could answer. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu went home and asked Hazrat Fatima. She replied and said, the best thing for a woman is that she does not see any strange man, and no strange man for eyes fall on her. When he reported this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became extremely happy. And on that occasion he said, Fatima is part of me. When she passed away, she made wasiyat, must pass me at night. And according to, it's not exactly known where she was buried. She also, it is said she made wasiyat, bury me in my house, so that nobody sees my janazah also. Whether I was big built, whether I was small built, or anything like that. How lot of parda, disharam haya, unfortunately, is a lost thing of our woman also, our man also. We have become totally shameless. And all this Western influence, and now even worse, and we are still happily sending our children to school where they are learning Darwin's theory of evolution, where they are going to learn all this alphabet fitnas. What is going to become of these children? These our girls that are going at that university, the Karguzari, they said, our girls, Muslim girls, all are going out with black boys. And our Muslim boys are going out with white girls. And this particular university, one particular thing of it, every night there's a party. So what happens in the parties? Any party, this kind of party is what we have. Whether it is an office party, whether it's a matric ball party, all this kind of parties. And every night, what are they learning? And all this, and their dressing. How terrible the dressing is. Some time ago, one good friend of ours, a doctor, wanted to enroll his son to become a doctor. He went to the university to enroll him. He was shocked at the environment. He thought that, and that was in the day, not at night. He thought that it looks like I'm out of South Africa, the way the conditions were. And he said, I must pay huge, exorbitant amount of money to throw the piece of my heart, Dilka Kalija, into Jahannam. He says, I can't do that. So this is, and look, our role model, our woman must be Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. For our girls, and in our girls' madrasas, to have sports day is out of the question. Where did she have a sports day? There was no sports day. Doing housework is the real solution for our ladies and our women. At one time, we were in Port Elizabeth, Tablighi Ijtima, and Maulana Mu'inuddin Muradabadi was the Shaykh al-Hadith at one time in Darul Ulum Zakaria. He was also there, and I was busy translating for him. In the course of the talk, he said that when we were small, then our grannies used to make our mothers, sisters, etc., when they wake up in the morning, first thing, housework. So I used to become angry. I said, when they get up at that time, let them make tahajjud. Let them make tilawat. He said it was much later that I read in medical kitabs that when a woman gets up and she does housework, sweeping, washing dishes, whatsoever, all woman diseases which are common associated with woman, she will never get those diseases. So for women, the best thing is for them to do the housework. One girl who became Hafiza at home by Appa, after many years she got married, she had children, she came and visit. How normally person will go and visit your ustad. So talking, then she said that she keeps no maid in the house, no helper. She does all the housework herself. Her friends come and visit, and then they ask her that, oh, why don't you keep a maid? She said, I manage, and I manage, and it keeps me fit, it keeps me healthy also. They say, no, you must keep a maid. Say, then what will I do? Say, you must watch TV then. How our thinking is gone. That you must keep a maid, let her do the housework, and you must sit and watch. And the TV makes you sick in every way. You sit like a couch potato, watching the TV all the time, no movement. So much so that you just order everything, all your food also. You can't get up from there and take two steps to go and open the fridge and get something for yourself. It makes you lazy completely, all these things. So where are we, in which direction are we going? So these Bhaktiyat Salihat, they will have great, great effect on us. They will change us completely. So they are great value and modesty. So our role model for our woman is Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. What a woman, Hazrat, a wealthy woman. And many of our learned people, how they present Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she was a big entrepreneur, businesswoman. Her business, she was all the time in her home. She had somebody, like she sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the trade mission and he went. It's not that she was on the factory floor or she was sitting in the office desk or something. They portray that and they encourage our woman. Look at Hazrat Khadija. She was a big business woman. Her business she did was not at all what we thinking of business. Not at all. She was a wealthy woman and she employed and her funds, her money, she put it into but in such a way that 100% clear. And if you do business like that, no problem. But they use the right words, but the right argument, but for the wrong purpose. They use that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was a businesswoman and give the idea that she was running a shop. She was sitting at the till and she was running around with the wraps and all that what the women do today, wrapping, etc. Na'uzubillah, she was not at all like that. And all the Azwaji Mutahharat, what was their position? So those are our role models. So that we should get. So anyway, doing all this hard work, Hazrat Ali, her husband, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, told her that some slaves have come to Nabi Ali salatu wasalam. Why don't you go and ask for one slave that you can do the slave can do the housework for you, and your chores will become lighter, easier for you. She went, and from here we learn that it is permissible to have maids to help us, etc. But much more superior and better is that we do work our own. With our own hands we do. And even if we do keep helpers and maids in the house, they should not be cooking also. Today we are giving solo duas after the meal, and then we find out that Anna cooked it, and Mary cooked it, and we are giving big duas for all who cooked it also. And our woman didn't touch the one potato, didn't peel a potato. The whole biryani pot also they are putting up. They are doing everything. They should not even iron the clothes. But today they do that also. They pack the clothes in the cupboard also. They do everything. So our woman should be, our children, we must bring up the children. They can wash the clothes, they can wash the dishes, do the ironing also, all the other work, clean the house, clean the toilets, the yard, etc. But the personal khidmat, that must be done by our woman. And today it is so much it goes out of our mind. A few occasions where in mulaqat, in jamaat, or with buzurgs, our Shaykh Rahmatullahi, big buzurgs come to our house. And then who brings the tray and put the tea and that? Also these workers, non-Muslims. We don't even think that such a great buzurg and in front of him. And we can't take the trouble and we go ourselves and bring the tray and put it there. That so much also we can't do. One time our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali told one alim also when he went and visit, and one interesting thing also. So he asked Hazrat that you want the high toilet. So Hazrat immediately said, I'm not a chairman. Sitting on a chair. I'm not a chairman. Anyway, his wife was not there, but the maid was still coming to work. So Hazrat then said that today your wife is not present at home. She's gone shopping or she's gone to her mother's house for a few days. Make it very clear. And Hazrat was very hard on it, emphasized and stressed that the maid must not come to those days. And Hazrat, then somebody said that when the maid is working, then you are so you go and sit outside. You don't sit with her. You are not in the house. There's no one else at home. It's only you and she. So Hazrat said, you can sit outside, but nafs will make you with such excuses that you go in the house, and before you know what gunas you are involved in. And that is not hidden from anyone. Almost throughout, across the board, all the terrible gunas that are committed in the house by good people, by namazis, by ulama also. All this shaitan is there. As Hazrat had explained, that if you put butter in front of fire and it doesn't melt, then it's not butter. It's something else. And a man, if he's alone with a woman and he does not melt, then he's also something else. He's not a man. A man is a man. So therefore Sharia, and Hadrat also used to say, those people who say that me, I know my limits. I don't do anything wrong. So in other words, you are saying that Allah Ta'ala, He gave two hard commands of parda. For me, it's not necessary. Hadrat says also, that those people, they say, we at the offices, we mix with women, we don't get any feeling, any wrong desire or anything. There's something wrong with that person if he doesn't get that. And that is a big... And then all the fitna which is happening in the world, all the divorces, your halal wife is not good enough for you, then why all these divorces and all high rates of divorce? If you are mixing with other people and you say, I can protect myself, I know my limits, that means Allah has been putting a law on you which you don't need. You are an angel. You don't need it. So we have to... So Allah's command, so Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she went, she asked Nabi, but she had so much of sharam and haya, modesty in her. This is another great lesson, her own father, but she did not have the courage to speak. That Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her also, but she shied away and she went away. Then look at the relationship between father and daughter. And in Baqiyatul Salihat, one commentary that has come, perpetual good deeds are your daughters also. And then in that it has come that one person who was a great sinner, he passed away and he was now on his way to Jahannam. He was decreed he must go to Jahannam. His daughters, wrapped around him, and they pleaded to Allah, our father should earn for us, he should look after us, he should do so much. Allah took pity and said, take him, go with him to Jannah. So our daughters, they also a great ni'mat. They also, baqiyatu salihat, are referred to our daughters also. So nobody should feel sad if a daughter is born. And some people, they only have daughters. Must not feel sad about it. A woman whose first child, the first child born is a girl, is referred to as a Mubarak woman. A blessed woman whose first child is a daughter. So we should be happy. Daughters are big ni'mat. And this is the way of the pagans, the Arabs, that they should hate when a daughter is born. We should be happy. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who has grown up three daughters, he goes straight to Jannah. Somebody asked two, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said two also. Somebody asked one, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one also. So we have daughters, look after them like they're the princesses in our house. And when she gets married, the husband should look after her like she's the queen of the house. These are great, great assets for us. So anyway, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to the house and said, oh Fatima, you came this morning, you wanted to ask for something, what was it? She was still too shy to speak. Even though there was nobody on the bedding there, was only Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu spoke and said, oh Allah's Rasul, I sent her. She worked so hard. I took pity on her. Her clothes do not remain so clean because of her hard work all the time. And she's very, very hard working. And with all this, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, their earning was also very meager and little. They hardly really had enough. But any beggar came, she would take whatever there was and give it to the beggar. And says, I'm sending it to Akhirah, to my deposit forever. Yeah, we'll eat it, it will get finished. How many cases? So where she lulled Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the grandsons of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam used to come to the house of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, make namaz. Then he should jump on his back when he should go in sajda. When he's sitting in the shahud, they should come and sit in his lap. And like any children, take off his topi and play. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tolerated. What great love he had for them. And those children, she should just, they have to lull them to sleep. Nothing in the house to eat. One time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, some meat came. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, send to my daughter also. For so long she hasn't tasted meat. The whole family hasn't tasted meat also. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went and he asked. Then she told, this is the case. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no problem, I can arrange for a space and you do all your work, but if you want, I'll give you something better. Everyone wants what is better, and with excitement the Sahaba should look forward to. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, before you go and sleep at night, read 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, or 33 times Allahu Akbar, one time Fath Kalima. That is much more better for you than a worker in the house also. So though it is permissible, but this is the real thing. So Allah give us tawfiq that we understand that, and Allah is given for all of us to read Tasbihat-e-Fatmi. As we are going home now from the majlis, instead of talking all other things, how many times we can read, how many tasbih of the third kalima we can read. And what great earnings. But all this is dependent if we got yaqeen on the akhirat. If it is for dunya, for to save 5 rand on butter, not 5 rand, 50 cents on butter, we'll travel 50 kilometers to another checkers or somewhere to go and buy it. There we know the value of money. But we don't know also. We spend our time, we spend our petrol, we say petrol is so expensive, we spend much more to go and save that 50 cents. But yet, genuine, real, eternal, and it helps us in this dunya from now already. All good deeds benefit a person in this dunya, his whole life, akhirat forever. But unfortunately, we don't. Allah make it that we come to know the value of our deen. So amongst the very great things of our storage of akhirat is baqiyatu salihat. And amongst them of the many things is the third kalima. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.